three times in this passage that Dawn just read. We hear Paul talk about to the praise of his glorious grace, that we might live to the praise of his glory, and that as God's own people, we might be redeemed to the praise of his glory. To live in praise to his glory. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture, because Paul is celebrating what God has done for you and for me. He's celebrating what it means to be a Christian and be fully alive in Christ Jesus. He starts out, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." That God starts our life out as a blessing. Months ago, I shared with you how I had read one of Robert Mulholland's books, Shaped by the Word. He's a professor of New Testament at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. And he just opened up the Word of God to me in a very special way, as he discovered after many, many years of studying the Scripture that in verse 4, where we are told he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world, that the word to choose could also be translated more literally, "And God spoke us forth before the foundations of the world." This God who created everything by just saying, "Let there be light," spoke us forth before even that light was created, before the firmament was established, before the waters were parted, before there was ever a garden and vegetation, God spoke us forth into existence as a spirit to be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, because God did this for us, we belong to him. We're of God, just as I was saying in the prayer. This world doesn't belong to us. I don't care how many deeds you show me, because you're not going to be around forever to claim that deed. And you may pass it on to another generation, but like you, they're going to pass on. The reality is that as far as this life is concerned, we're born and we die. That's it. That's all we're promised. That we're born and we die. But before we were born, we were spoken forth by God. We belong to him. And when we die, we will belong to him. The point is, when we die, are we going to be with him or separated from him? That's the issue. And it really depends on what we do between the time we're born and the time we die. It's our choice. We're God's to do with as he wishes. But we determine our eternal destiny by how we live between birth and death. And if we remember nothing else, all we have to do is live to the praise of his glory. There's a Christmas song that I wanted sung this morning, and I knew I'd heard it as a solo in this church, and so I called Barry thinking maybe he's the one that sang it. He wasn't the one. But it's a song I hope you remember hearing. And if you didn't hear it here, maybe somewhere before. And it's called Mary, Don't You Know? And it's about Mary at the birth of Jesus, not realizing all this little baby was going to become, not fully anticipating all that this child grown into a man would experience, not knowing what she as a mother would have to face as she saw this precious son being nailed to a cross and laid into a tomb. Mary, did you know? But you know, I think every parent feels that way. If we want to understand this phrase, live to the praise of His glory, all you have to do is be a parent. And if you're not a parent, gee, I even know pet owners that feel this way. You know, our children or even our pets do what they're supposed to do and act the way they're supposed to and really rise above the everyday. We just feel so good. You know, if we have a dog that just stops when we say heel or stop or sit down, that's to the praise of our glory, isn't it? Of course, a lot like children, sometimes they don't want to do what we want them to do when you want them to do it. But as parents, we experience what that is all about. Mary must have experienced that when she saw this son of hers become truly the Savior of all mankind. She experienced great joy. She lived in moments of glory as she saw this son grow into a Savior. But you know, she saw it sooner than that. As soon as that little fellow was born, it lived to the praise of her glory. What parent is it just thrilled when they see their child for the first time? And sometimes when you see your child for the first time, they're not very pretty. But you're just filled with a sense of glory and wonder about life itself. That's what it does for us. You know, I have to admit, in my early years, my mother didn't get to experience a whole lot of glory with me. Now, probably when I was a little kid, she probably did. But when I got into elementary age, I didn't do so well in church, and I was a bit of a problem. And I was a lot of heartache for my mom for a long time, right up into my teen years. And you know, one of the greatest things that I experienced when I call my mother at least weekly and we talk on the phone, is my mother will say, "Son, I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of the life you live and what you do and the talents and the abilities that you have." Because I go back to those years when I broke her heart so many times. I didn't live to the praise of her glory for a big chunk of my life. I didn't really live to the praise of anybody's glory for a big chunk of years. I'm sad to say, but I was a little messed up. And that happens to people sometimes. The other night, we were studying in our spiritual formation group on the way of forgiveness. And we've been talking about anger. And we've talking about different stages of anger from irritation to frustration, to resentment, even up to rage. And I remember a lot of my life was just filled with anger and rage. And I believe sincerely, if it had not been for Jesus Christ, I could have easily been a criminal, an antisocial person, a person without conscience. Because I'm able to see sometimes that ugliness in me. And if it were not for the power and saving grace of Jesus Christ, that rage and anger might have ruled my life and destroyed many others. The anthem this morning, Amazing Grace, was written by John Newton. His father was a sea captain, and he went to sea as a cabin boy at the age of 6 or 8. He lived in the days of John Wesley, and he grew up from a cabin boy to a mate on the ship until finally he too was a captain, and he was involved in the slave trade. And he heard John Wesley preach and George Whitefield preach against slavery. And one day his heart was touched and he gave his life to Jesus Christ, a slave trader, a vicious person. Gave his life to Jesus Christ and became an Anglican priest because of the heritage we share as Methodists through the preaching of John Wesley and George Whitefield. He gave his life over to Jesus Christ. And so when he pens those words, Amazing Grace, he knows what it means. He knows how he had lived before he met Jesus Christ. And he knows how he was living after he met Jesus Christ, to live to the praise of his glory. And that was an amazing, amazing thing. I think of so many times how I was filled with glory at the accomplishments of my children. I'm not going to tell a story on you, son. I'll wait till you're not here. Then I'll get you. You know, when you see your children do good things, this just sense of wonder and glory just wells up inside of you, doesn't it? When you see them standing on a stage receiving awards, when you see them make an ethical decision that's difficult to make among their peers, you're filled and have that sense of glory because the praise you feel about them just expands to glory. I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Christ, God, your Father, looks to you, to me, to live to the praise of His glory. We're not here in the world to impress other people by how much money we earn, how many deeds we own, how many accomplishments we make in the world. We are here explicitly for the purpose to glorify our God and Creator. And Paul tells us 3 times in this passage, we're to live to the praise of His glory. And how do we do that? By grace, by what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. He's already given us every spiritual blessing from heavenly places. They are made available to you and me so we can live to the praise of His glory day by day. Paul says, according to the riches of His grace, He has lavished upon us. That we didn't deserve a Savior coming into the world and dying for us. Because most of the times we pretty much live for ourselves. And if we're not living for ourselves, we're living to impress somebody else. But we're not really living to impress God. We're not living to the praise of His glory. And yet He lavished that grace on you and I, even when we don't deserve it. Because He has a plan, Paul tells us, a plan that in the fullness of time, we're going to be with him spiritually, just as we were with him when he spoke us forth before the foundation of the world. Before we came into a human body, before we were born into this world, we're going to be with God in that spiritual way again. That is his plan. And even though he loses us for a little while, his grace is reaching out to us day by day to bring us back in. Even though we can live as I did as an elementary and a teenage person, not to the praise and glory of my mother, that I brought her heartache and pain, she loved me anyway. She was there by my side. She loved me when I didn't love myself and I didn't love anyone else until I was able to encounter this man, Jesus. He said, no matter what I'd ever done, God loved me. He died for me so I could be restored to that position where I could live to the praise of God's glory. Why? Because with you, I have been given an inheritance in Christ Jesus. St. Paul says, when God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are children of God, children of God and fellow heirs with Christ Jesus, we have a promise. We're a part of a plan. And not just a part of a plan, an insignificant part of a plan, that we inherit what Jesus inherits, being in the presence of a holy God forever and ever. So between birth and death, all God asks of us is to live to the praise of his glory. Do you measure up? When God holds the plumb line, do you measure up? By grace we can. That's our inheritance. Not to live for this world or the things of this world, but to live for the praise of his glory. What are you doing to live to the praise of his glory today? Every day. That the kind of pride we feel as a parent, or maybe the pride we feel as a proud pet owner, might be the kind of pride God feels because of the choices we're making and the lives we are living as we live to the praise of his glory. Let us pray. Gracious Father, when we listen to the world, we'd never believe this passage that Paul shares with us in Ephesians. If we listen to the world, it's all about us. And especially in America, we are the people that believe in pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps. It's all about us. It's all about what we have. It's all about what we possess. It's all about what we accomplish. It's all about what we achieve, about what we master, about what we control. And yet, in the scheme of eternity, it's all about how we live in relationship with you, Father. And you have provided your grace. You have called us your own people. We are yours. So, gracious Father, help us to live to the praise of your glory, that in the life to come we may be eternally bathed in the glory of your presence rather than cast into utter darkness. May we live for you today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.